We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Joe Benigno and Evan Roberts on The Fan.
Joe and Evan. Evan and Joe. On WFAN Sports Radio. Joe and Evan, Evan and Joe. 66 on your AM dial, 101.9 FM. Joe and Evan on the fan. Joe and Evan on WFAN.
10:03 on The Fan, and a very good Friday morning to you, the midday show. Joe Benigno, Evan Roberts, 877-337-6666 is the phone number. We're here till 1 o'clock. Mike's on, Frances on, The Fan will come your way. And Kristaps Porzingis will join Mike later on today. Dolph Kramer, Ernie Acosta on the other side of the glass. Football Friday. Carl Banks will join us in the 11 o'clock hour. Bro, how are you?
Oh, I'm fantastic. Yesterday, that football game, first of all, if you're a gambler, don't gamble anymore.
Well.
Because that was frustrating. If you laid the six,
yep,
you thought you had it won. Arizona scores a late touchdown. And now if you took the six, you're thinking, well, look, now I'm going to get a cover. And then you have a blocked extra point. So it's a push for everybody.
Yep, yep.
That's what you had yesterday. But more importantly than that, you had a ton of injuries for the Seattle Seahawks, including Richard Sherman, who I know he's controversial. And sometimes he says stuff that you love. And sometimes he says stuff that you disagree with. But I always think Richard Sherman is somebody that's good for football. He's really good at what he does, A. And B, I think when he gives opinions, he, you know, gives informed opinions. And now we're not going to get to watch him play football for the rest of the year because he ripped up his Achilles. And that's bad. That's bad for football. So I thought that was one of the big negatives coming out of last night, along with the fact that it was right up your alley. A billion penalties were called.
Oh, God.
21 accepted penalties.
Ridiculous.
21.
Well, the one drive, the touchdown drive that tied the game at 7-7 by the Cardinals in the first half, five penalties for first downs on Seattle.
Yep.
Five. I mean,
that's what they do.
That was the whole drive. The whole drive was penalties. It's ridiculous.
That's what they do, man. That's the Seattle Seahawks. And now I look at them, and I remember yesterday we were talking about the Seahawks, and we both said, yeah, I think they're going to win the NFC West anyway.
I do, too.
And they still may.
I do, too.
But now look what they have going
against. They got the tiebreaker right now on the Rams. They're going to play them again.
And they do play them again.
But they did beat them the first time.
They're, without Richard Sherman, one of their best players on defense.
Earl Thomas is banged up.
Earl Thomas has been banged up. Yep. They got a big play from Cam Chancellor. I think he was responsible for the Adrian Peterson safety, basically.
Yep. He was. Yeah.
They don't run the football particularly well. Along with the injuries they had last night, Dwayne Brown, who they just acquired at left tackle, he got hurt.
Yep.
Russell
yep.
Wilson's got to run for his life half the time. Yep. And I thought the best play of this game was when he was running for his life, spins around, somehow escapes free, and then makes a big pass to Doug Baldwin. That was one hell of a play.
Russell Wilson doesn't get enough credit for being one of the elite quarterbacks in the NFL. I mean, let's call it what it is. I just don't think. I know he's already won a Super Bowl. He's been to two, all of that. Russell Wilson is one of the elite guys in the NFL. I don't think there's any question about it.
And, you know, I think what makes Russell Wilson so damn impressive week to week to week is he's got a garbage offensive line protecting
him. Right. And he doesn't have a great amount of offensive weapons. They have no real great running game without Marshawn Lynch there anymore. Jimmy Graham's starting now really to get involved now offensively. He's scoring a lot of touchdowns. Scored a couple touchdowns yesterday. Same thing with Doug Baldwin's become a top receiver. But they're not really loaded with offensive weapons.
No, I mean, I think he's got a lot of solid receivers, like Doug Baldwin and Richardson.
Right.
And you mentioned Jimmy Graham, who's actually not dropping footballs every other play. Caught a touchdown last night.
Yep.
But he has to run for his life half the time behind that bad offensive line. And it's funny because Seattle, coming after their loss to Washington, a few guys were talking about how it's great that they're playing a Thursday night game because they get the quick turnaround. And the Seahawks have had this incredible run where they just don't lose back-to-back games. You know, it's been 2 years since they've lost back-to-back games.
Oh, is that right? I did not realize
it's crazy.
That is pretty good.
So, you know, you always talk about, I don't want to play that team off a loss.
Right, right.
This is the team.
Yeah.
You don't want to play off a loss.
Yep.
But coming out of the game last night, the tone from Seattle, even after a win, was completely different about Thursday night football because they lost like 10 guys.
Yeah.
They were talking about how much they hate Thursday night football and it should be illegal. I forget which player actually said that. Doug Baldwin was a guy who said that. It should be illegal. Well, guess what, Doug? When the CBA runs out, all right, go to the owners and say, look, I know we bring in an extra $500 million from this package, but we don't want it. So here's the money back. Mm. Give it back to the networks. We don't want it. That'll be the real question. When players who hate Thursday night football decide to give money back because they hate it so much.
Yeah. Don't count on that happening.
I'll tell you one thing I hate. I hate the Skycam. I think it's terrible.
And they're gonna, did you see what they said,
yes.
They said yesterday? The game Thursday night coming up between Pittsburgh and Tennessee is going to be entirely shot from Skycam.
I may not watch it.
You got
to
be kidding.
I think I'm going to listen to it on the radio.
Who came up with that brilliant idea?
You know what happened? This is what Ernie was telling me. They use this Skycam a lot in the Patriot-Falcon
because of the fog. Right.
Which we all
That's
know.
Right, right.
But
right.
I guess there was a lot of positive reactions to the Skycam. And so they're like, oh, you like it? We'll give you more of it. I don't know if we're in the minority, but I really don't care. I hate the Skycam.
No, I don't like it.
I think it's terrible.
I'm with you 100%, bro.
Look, there are certain things you get from the Skycam.
Yeah, okay.
That are cool.
Yeah, all right.
But the negatives outweigh the positives.
I don't need to see the whole game from that.
No.
I mean, I really don't.
You know what we need? Here's the technology. On your TV, you have a button, okay? And you control which angle you want.
You know what? That's an excellent idea.
They have that. On TNT Overdrive, I think it's called.
Is that right?
Yeah, for basketball. I think they have something like
this
that.
You should be running the networks.
Thank you. They paid a lot more money.
Well, goes without saying.
I'd make some changes. I'd make some sweeping changes.
Yeah, I'm sure you would.
But one of which is I would ban the – well, no. I wouldn't ban the Skycam. I'd give you the option to watch the Skycam, like I said.
You know what?
We need options, Joe. I'm an option
guy. I got to tell
you,
this is funny. When we went to the game last Thursday, right?
Yeah.
The Jet-Bill game. Like, there was a couple times the stupid Skycam, you could see this guy, you know, you're at the game and you see this thing on the wire, you know, this guy. So I'm like trying to see the clock, and the Skycam was obstructing my view of the clock. I'm like, what is this? I swear to God.
But here's the problem, though. Here's why I can't feel too bad for you. You were sitting in awesome seats.
Oh, the seats were good.
So
seats, my cousin Danny's seats are stellar.
So isn't it kind of
stellar
like
seats.
You're sitting behind home plate at a baseball game?
It's kind of like that.
And the umpire keeps blocking your view behind home plate. Like,
right.
I can't see the catcher because the stupid umpire's in the way. Yeah, your first row, Marlins, man.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, no, these aren't first row, but they're terrific seats.
They're very good seats where he has. Great seats.
Yep.
So congratulations to the Seahawks, and no congratulations to any gambler who laid the six or took the six because you got hosed last night.
Yeah.
Yesterday, a lot of Giant players came out and defended Ben McAdoo.
Yeah, well, the Snacks did. Harrison did.
Yeah, and went on the – it's kind of like what David Wright said after Terry Collins was let go, calling out the rats, if you will, that are the anonymous Giants.
Right, have the guts to come out and say it.
And I think it was Landon Collins said basically what we said, and we're all assuming that it's probably somebody in that defensive room who opened their mouth. But in a weird way, and we're going to find out on Sunday, and I'm going to put my money where my mouth is.
It's got to be somebody in the secondary. Has to be.
Probably. But you know what? It's not DRC, and it's not Janoris Jenkins, because both guys yesterday – you know, Janoris basically said.
Yeah, I don't know if I believe that.
So
anyway.
You think publicly they're saying one thing, privately another?
Yeah, I think it's got to be somebody in the secondary, and I think more than likely it's one of the guys that got suspended. That would be me. I mean, I could be wrong, but that would be me.
It could be, but it would be a far cry from what they're saying publicly.
Well,
so let's be detectives. So there was one guy in their secondary who refused to comment.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. So do you think it would be him, Eli Apple?
Yeah, that's who I would say it was.
Well, he refused to comment yesterday.
Yeah.
See, that's the problem. When you have anonymous players come out, we all naturally are trying to figure out, well, who is it? I'm sure they're doing that in the locker room right now. And when you don't come out publicly and say, hey, what was said isn't true, it's natural for you and me and any Giant fan to say, oh, it's probably that guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I mean, all signs point to that. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm 100% wrong. I don't know. But who knows if we'll ever find out.
I have a weird feeling, and I don't know what it means long term. It may not save Ben McAdoo's job, but I really think the Giants are going to come out and play a more inspired football game on Sunday, and I think they'll be helped out by the fact that the Niners aren't very good, obviously.
That's the major help.
That's a big help.
Yes.
I get that. But sometimes when you get talk like this, especially this early, it's not like there's a week to go in the year. You've got half a year to go. when you have this kind of talk, this kind of toxic environment, and it's out there publicly, I think it can rally a team together. I mean, you heard the passion in which Snacks came out and made his comments yesterday.
Yeah. I
kind of think it's going to rally this team together. Now, I don't know if that's enough to save Ben McAdoo's job. It's only 1 week. He'd have to do that a lot over the final stretch of games for him to convince John Mara he should be around. But I think in the short term, I really expect the Giants to give you a Broncos-like performance. And I don't mean the Broncos. I mean what they did against the Broncos.
Yeah. No, I could see that. Look, let's be honest. They should beat the 49ers. I mean, they're a much better team in San Francisco. Certainly, I mean, the talent that they throw out there. I mean, the Niners have nothing. What do the Niners have? They don't have a quarterback. I mean, there's no great skill position guys on that team that really you got to get nervous about. They don't have a great defense. I mean, they're 0-9 for a reason, you know?
Yeah, and
come on.
Earlier in the season, they were playing a lot of close games. You know, you look at the Seattle game,
on.
The Ram
right.
game.
Early
the couple,
on, they were.
The overtime games on the road. Like, they really did. They played a lot of really tight games they could have won. The Washington game, a lot of those games.
They
on
weren't
the road.
Out of the game last week. What, it was 20-10 to
they
the Cardinals?
Weren't, they were in it.
They were in the game. But, I mean, I don't know how good the Cardinals aren't that great either. But
exactly.
Still, you know.
But look at the Philadelphia game. They got destroyed, even though it was close for a quarter. Look at the Dallas game.
Oh, Dallas beat them up.
So over the last 3 weeks, it hasn't been the same kind of football we saw the first 6 weeks where they were in every single game. And they're obviously going nowhere. You know, we know that. There isn't any tension about the future of their head coach. It's a rookie head coach, so you're not hearing anything like
right,
that.
Right.
But they're just not a very good football team. And I still look at the Giants with all the flaws that they have, and they have plenty now, especially with the injuries. As like you said, they're just a better football team.
It's not even close. I mean, to me, it's not even close, bro. Yeah, it really isn't.
And I don't know if this week and the Giants coming out and playing an inspired game is going to change everything. It's probably not. They still have to play the Chiefs. They have to play the Washington Redskins twice, the Eagles. We know.
Dallas again in Dallas.
Yeah, I mean, we know the schedule. Right. And
they
got
to go to Oakland, I think, to play the Raiders.
Sure, and who knows what the Raiders are going to look like by then. Maybe they'll be a team where we thought of more so at the beginning of the season. But I just really have a feeling after the embarrassment of last week, after all the talk this week, the unnamed Giants, the report from Jacina Anderson with ESPN. I think this is a football team that's actually going to rally together. And what that means going forward, I have no idea. But in the short term,
laid it 2.5.
I'm laying the 2.5. Oh, I am. That's what I'm getting at, Joe. I'm laying it. I'm laying the points.
No, obviously, I understand.
I'm going all in on that.
I get that.
I actually think it's going to happen. I think Eli will play a lot better than he played last week. It was probably his worst game of the year.
I want to know this. When was the last time? Maybe we could look it up. Maybe we can't. The last time the Jets and Giants were favored the same weekend on the road. That hasn't happened too often.
I could track it down.
I'm sure you probably could.
I'm going to track that down.
I'm sure it hasn't happened often.
Well, when was the last time? Forget Giants-Niners, which has such a great history to
right.
it.
Yeah.
When was the last time you'd have two football teams that have a combined record of 1-17?
1-17, yeah.
I had to do the math. I mean, 1-17 combined.
Yeah. And you're like you said, I mean, it's been a great rivalry over the years. The 80s, the championship game a couple of years ago within the Giants and the Niners. And this is a far cry from that.
It's historic, just in a different kind of way.
Yep.
We'll get to the Giants, and we'll talk about the Jets coming up as they take on old buddy Ryan Fitzpatrick and the Buccaneers, and they try to get to 5-5. Carl Banks will join us at 11. We'll make our picks later on. A football Friday.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.